Kellen Winslow is with us on Sports Byline. We're talking football and about his outstanding career because he is a member of the Pro Football and the College Football Halls of Fame, and he is widely recognized as one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history. When you think back on your football career in totality, is there a moment that is kind of etched into Kellen Winslow's mind that he'll never forget?
Well, the block field goal in the Miami game, you know, it's really something that you are known for. There really are two. My rookie year, I caught a punt. I was on the punt protection team, and we punted the ball. And I'm running down the field, and the ball's hanging up in the air, and the return man got away from the ball. And I caught the ball on the 1.5, 2-yard line. And Hal Stringer, a teammate of mine, kept me in the field of play. So we downed the ball on the 1-yard line. And Wayne Sevier, our special teams coach, who always taught us the importance of special teams, and I got a chance to be on a special teams play. It's one of the biggest moments of my career that nobody ever talks about or thinks about.
Let me switch gears on you for just a moment because it's an important issue to football players, the health of them and what they are not getting. And I'm talking about the players that retired before the 1993 season and how they're not getting the type of benefits that the current players today are. And you're one of those players that falls into that category, the pre-1993 players. Tell everybody what the issue is here, Kellen.
Well, to really give it a little bit more context, 1993 was the year that free agency came into the National Football League. Before that time, you did not have the ability to move from one team to the next unless you were traded or you were cut and another team, picked you up. So there was not, my full contract is 4 years. In the third year, I'm thinking about free agency in year four by contract. You were pretty much stuck with that team. They had your rights, and they could do whatever they wanted to. Of course, that held down salaries because there was no place to go. Now with the free agency, players have 4 or 5 year contracts. In the fourth or fifth year of their contract, respectively, they're able to pick up and move to another place and make more money. We didn't have that ability. In 1982, 1987, we went through 2 strikes trying to get free agency, but did not get it accomplished until 1993. So those who retired before 1993, the pre-93s, as we call them, have pensions that are not very equitable. And what we're trying to do is have the Players Association, the union, DeMaurice Smith, an executive committee, this time in the collective bargaining agreement for 2021, go back and negotiate something that's equitable for those players who made the sacrifice to put the current players in a position to have free agency. We're just asking for something that the union said that they were going to do years ago, which was go back and take care of us on a pension standpoint, but never did.
Why do you think that they didn't? What was happening that they really got kind of selfish, in my opinion, and not taking care of the older players?
I think leadership got distracted. I really do think they did. They got distracted from understanding who really put in the work to get the union in a position to finally get free agency. And that, of course, involved court battles that involved strikes, labor stoppage, and it also involved a lot of players putting their heads on the line to make statements about why this is needed. Eventually, when a new television deal came through in 1992, I think it was, the NFL granted free agency came to the National Football League, I should say, and that ability to make a decent salary for your skill set is now into play. I'll give you an example. There are guys who are Hall of Famers who are all pro players in their career who played in the middle 80s who probably made $85,000 to $200,000 a year. And that was at the top end for their position. Let's say a linebacker or even an offensive lineman in a backup role. Today, that player in a similar position is probably making $4 to $5 million a year. So it really has changed. Now, when you look at the pension, and the pension is so much better because there's more money there. So all we're saying is, let's take a piece of that revenue sharing that's been taking place for the last, since 1993, and let's pay attention to those who helped get them to that point. Now, we're not whining, we're not crying about, well, you should do this for us, you do that for us. We're all we're asking for is what's equitable based on the work that we put in.
Yeah, to put this into perspective, tell everybody what a player in that period of time we've been talking about is getting as far as a pension.
Well, let's say if you took your pension about the age of 61, a 10-year vet is probably getting $40,000 a year. Yeah, a 10-year vet is getting $40,000 a year. Now, mind you, the other sports, the other three major sports, hockey, basketball, and baseball, have all gone back and looked at this issue of being equitable with those who came before them, and they've addressed this problem by putting in minimums for those guys who came before them. And those are significant dollars. I think the number in hockey is $200,000
right
per year.
Yep.
I think the number in Major League Baseball might be $300,000.
Yep.
But these are numbers that are, you know, well within the revenue sharing equation, because you can't pay what you don't have. The money is there. It's just we're asking them to make this a priority for those who came before you to help put you in the position that you're in today. Not mad at you for making the money. I'm glad you're making the money. But we're saying that there are guys out there who've put in the work, share the wealth.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, most people know about the physicality of the game, and it's, in my opinion, much tougher than what it is in basketball, much tougher than what it is, generally speaking, in baseball as well. And for them to get the $200,000, $300,000 pension payment, what about the football players? And I don't know whether it's greed or whether you're young. I had one player tell me that falls into that category that, and you've heard this story before, you could ask somebody who Dick Butkus was, and they probably couldn't tell you. And I don't think that the younger players have a sense about who were the pioneers that came forward that helped take the game to the level it is today.
Well, not just on the field, but also in the labor movement.
Right.
The sacrifices that were made. How did you get to this position? You just walked in, and here it is, and you're able to take advantage of this. There was work that went into this, and the previous executive director, Gene Upshaw, had talked about this in the 87 strike season before free agency in 93, and then the collective bargaining agreements after 93. There was always talk about going back and taking care of the pre-93 people. Now, mind you, there was a fund created, a legacy fund that gave those who had not taken their pension already a boost. But it's far, far from what it should be. It's, it's far from where it should be.
We only have a little bit over a minute left. What do you appreciate and enjoy about pro football today, Kellen?
Wow. The fact that they're really full-time professional athletes. Ron, we were part-timers. Guys would come in and play during the football season. They probably got a chance to work out when they got to training camp for 6 weeks before they started preseason games to get ready to play. They had to get in shape in camp. Guys now, and the league now, they're full-time. They don't have to work during off-season. They have facilities to go to. They have nutritionists, they have trainers, and I'm not complaining about that. It's a wonderful thing. They're professional. We were part-timers. During the off-season, I would go to 24/7 gym or California Fitness to work out because there was no weight room for us to go to during the off-season.
Well, I'll tell you what you did during your career was amazing. The one thing that I come away with, I covered the game down in San Diego between the Raiders and the San Diego Chargers. I think it was the AFC Championship game. And if I hear "this is it" one more time on the public address system, I wake up in the middle of the night singing that damn song.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That was a great song. People still talk about it.
You got it. Listen, I want to thank you, Kellen. I've missed talking to you, and thank you for putting into perspective what the challenge is for those players that, you know, played prior to 1993 and retired. So I'll keep harping on this. Take care. Come back anytime with us on Sports Byline.
You bet. Take care.
Kellen Winslow, a member of the Pro Football and the College Football Halls of Fame. And as I said before, and rightfully so, he is widely recognized as one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.